I'm very grateful to be with you today on this auspicious occasion of Snana Yatra, this beautiful festival. Lord Chaitanya, he made a long tour to South India, and just before returning to Jagannath Puri to attend the Snana Yatra festival, he found in South India two books. One book is called Krishna Karnamrita, and the other is called the Brahma Samhita, the 50th chapter of the Brahma Samhita, which we chant today, most part of it, that was found by Lord Chaitanya. And this Brahma Samhita directly gives us, it speaks directly about the spiritual world. So, after Lord Chaitanya found these books, he came back to Jagannath Puri and he went to Jagannath Puri and he saw the Snana Yatra festival. So after the Snana Yatra festival, Lord Chaitanya felt great separation from Lord Jagannath, and he went to Alanath, Alavanath, mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in a purport there of this verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Snana Yatra. After the bathing ceremony, Snana Yatra, Lord Jagannath apparently becomes sick. He is therefore removed to his private apartment, where no one can see him. Actually, during this period, renovations are made on the body of Jagannath, of the Jagannath deity. This is called Navajavana. During the Ratayatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath once again comes before the public. Thus, for 15 days after the bathing ceremony, Lord Jagannath is not visible to any visitors. That's the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. So, Lord Jagannath is inviting us to come back to the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is described in this Brahma Samhita, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Srila Prabhupada in a purport quotes this Brahma Samhita. And it's in a verse of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks about the spiritual world. And that is 8:21. Before we chant this verse from Bhagavad Gita, we glorify the speaker of Bhagavad Gita with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 8:21. I read the Sanskrit and then translation and the purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Avyaktokshari ityuktas tamau paramangatim yam prapyana nivastante tad dana paramamama. Translation. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and informable, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns. That is my supreme abode. So Krishna speaks about the supreme abode in the spiritual world. That's that. And in this purport, it's very interesting, because in the original edition of the Bhagavad Gita, this purport was not there. But later they found out that Krishna, that Srila Prabhupada dictated, spoke this purport, and it was on the tape. But somehow or another, they did not put it in the Bhagavad Gita. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mainly he transliterates two verses of the Brahma Samhita, the Chintani Pakari Satmasakalpa Apriksham Maksavite Surabir Abhipala Mayantam Lakshmi Satasam Brahmak Sevyamana Kovinna Apipo Shantam Vacham. And the other verses which we sing every time we see the deities. Penam kavantam arvinda dalaya taksam varapatam sansitam buddhasunda kandangam kandak pakot kamaniya kishecha shurpam kovinna atipurisham tamam vachami. So, I will now read the purport for this, based on this translation. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintan Nidan, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any type of eatable upon demand. And there are cows known as Surabhi cows, which supply a limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and is called Govinda, the primary cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Venam Kavantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature, Skanda Upanishad, state that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that abode is the ultimate destination. Purusham Nabram Kinshit Sakasta Brahmagati. When one attains to it, he never returns to this material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are no different, being of the same quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of that supreme Goloka Vrindavan located in the spiritual world. When Krishna descends on this earth, he is ported on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising 168 square miles in the district of Mathura, India. Repeat the verse again. Abhyaktuk sarit yuktastamal paramantatim yam prapyamani vastanteta tama paramamama. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifested and infallible, which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my abode. So, Lord Krishna, he speaks about this Paramda, his highest abode, Goloka Vrindavan. In this chapter before, he said, Yam Yam Bhagas Param Bhavanti Ant Ante Kalevam Tam Tam Veti Kantyam Saddad Bhava Bhavatam. The consciousness of the time of death will determine your next body. So Krishna is Sarva Karana Karana, is the cause of everything. He explains in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Brahmas, I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. So it's the source of everything, the material and the spiritual worlds. But those who live in the spiritual world, they have a different consciousness than those who live in the material world. In the material world, there's everyone has forgotten Krishna. One's own self becomes the center. Everyone has here forgotten God. In the Vaikuntha planets, there everyone knows Lord Narayan is the Supreme Lord. They are always conscious of Him, glorifying Him, serving Him in awe and reverence. So where we are now, that's called Devi Dham, the abode of Durga or Maya, and it's a place of forgetfulness of God. And in the spiritual world, everyone remembers the Supreme Lord, but in different ways. You have the Vaikuntha planets, and you have Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is a special place. In the material world, we are under the influence of Mahamaya. Mahamaya has five influences, creates five illusions in us. Consciousness. And the first symptom is, first illusion is a false I that comes from forgetting Krishna. If we forget Krishna, then we don't know who we are. Because who are we? We are a part and parcel of Krishna. We are a servant of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamayam Sochivelaka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All ignorance is all my past and past souls. But we forget Krishna. And then, when we forget Krishna, what's happening? What's Krishna's position? It tells in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram Shakrata Prasam Sarvlokamashram Suradam Sarvabhutnam Katpamansam Santimritshati. One becomes peaceful when one knows that Krishna is enjoying the proprietor and the friend of everything. He's the proprietor of everything, of all planets, everything. One who is the proprietor has the right to enjoy, right? It's his. But under the influence of the material and energy forgetting Krishna, we think that everything is for our enjoyment. And that we are the proprietor, the owner. But how long can we be the owner as long as we have this body? So we forget and we think this is mine. So by forgetting Krishna, we have created a false I and mine. It's just false ego. False ego. Krishna says, therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in 3:30, you surrender all your works to me, and then it gives two things what that surrender means. It says, Nirmamo Nirasir Nirmama. Nirasir means one should not act as an enjoyer and not think that he's the proprietor of everything. That's false ego. And that's created by this illusory energy. And what's the result? Then we suffer. If you think that is mine, that's, you have a brand new car and someone makes a little scratch on it and you feel pain. You don't care of the other car, but it's my car, that's serious. Then you feel pain because you are attached, and that's false attachment. It's nothing is ours. We can only say for the temporary, it's under our care, maybe, but not the owner, really. We have to leave everything behind when we leave this world. And these four illusions that forgetting Krishna, a false I, a false mind, and then attachment and suffering, then the fifth illusion is I'm going to die. But we are not dying, we change body. We belong to the spiritual world, that's where we belong. We are in a foreign nature here. And Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra is inviting us to go back, to this spiritual world. But in Vaikuntha, there one is under the spiritual energy, Yoga Maya. And Yoga Maya's influence is the most prominent in Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, everyone has forgotten that Krishna is God. But it's different from in the material world. Because there they have forgotten Krishna. They forgot his godhood, but they did not forget Krishna. That is an other illusory energy, and spiritual illusory energy. It's called Yoga Maya. Brings one under, makes one forget Krishna's position as God, to allow to develop a higher intensity of love. And Krishna likes that higher. That's what he wants from us, love. He does not want all the offering that you make, you gave. He's the proprietor of everything. It's all coming from him. So he's self-satisfied. He does not need that. But he wants our love. That. So in Goloka Vrindavan, there are higher intensities of love. Nanda Maharaj thinks, my Krishna is my son, that's my son. And Srimad Radhani thinks it's my lover. And the coward boys think it's just my friend. Friends means equal. Sometimes when Krishna goes out in Goloka Vrindavan, hurt the cowherd boys in the pasture grounds, then the cowherd boys, they divide in two parts. One party goes with Balaram and the other goes with Krishna. And then they have a play, and then the one who loses the play, all these cowherd boys can climb on the back of those who have lost the game, to ride horse. So after, I think Subal, after the game is over, Krishna's party had lost, and Subal was with the other party, or Balaram, and he says, Krishna, you lost, now I have to climb on your back. And Krishna said, no, I did not lose, it was his banana peel. You slipped on a banana peel, Subal said, where is his banana peel? And he forced himself on the back of Krishna to ride horse. Yeah. Could someone do that here, force himself on the back of the deity? No. That's very intimate relationship. So that's Goloka Vrindavan. That's the highest abode is Param Dham. And everyone there is under this Yoga Maya. Like once Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is like the so-called husband of Srimad Radharani, and his mother is Jatila, and Jatila's sister is Kotila. Manu's sister, right. Abhimanyu's sister, that Kotila is the mother-in-law of Srimad Radharani. So one day, Abhimanyu tells Jatila, his mother, I have to go to the market in another village. And it will take some time, so I will come back tomorrow. And he went away. In the meantime, Krishna took the form of Abhimanyu. And he went to the house of Srimad Radharani. And Jatila was sitting in front of the door and sees his son coming. But it was Krishna who came. And she said, oh, I was thinking you were coming back tomorrow. And Krishna in the form of Abhimanyu said, yes, he said, but I was thinking I can do that also tomorrow, it's not urgent. And I was thinking, I love you so much, so I came back. So Krishna went inside with Radharani. But then, in the meantime, the real Abhimanyu came back earlier than thought. And then Jatila, who was sitting outside, saw Abhimanyu coming, and she was thinking, this must be an imposter, must be Krishna. So she took a broomstick and started to chase after Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu said, no, I'm your son. So this yoga maya. In the spiritual world, it's such a spiritual ecstatic experience. Because in the material world, we know suffering. In the spiritual world, there is no suffering because there is no body. Suffering, yes, apparently the residents of Goloka Vrindavan suffer. Like when Krishna went to Mathura to kill Kamsa, he told him, I'm coming back, I will return to Vrindavan. But he did not come back. He sent later Uddha. When Uddha came there with a message of Krishna, it was received nicely by Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. But he could see that Mother Yasoda was also always crying, and Nanda Maharaj was looking down, like they were always absorbed in Krishna, feeling separation. And then there's a verse in the Bhagavatam where Uddha says, I'm very happy to see you in that condition. That's interesting. he sees them suffering, and he says, I'm very happy to see you in that condition. Why is that? Because these deeper feelings of separation is a higher experience of love of Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya brings us, this Kripalamba. And it's a more ecstatic love. So the so-called suffering becomes a very ecstatic experience of love that's difficult to understand here in this material world, because we live in this world of dualities, in good or bad. We think things are good and bad, but that's an invention of our mind. We think it's good for the body, gives me pleasure, then it's good. Or we try to avoid distress. That's our business in the material world. That avoiding distress of getting happiness. But good or bad, that duality, Krishna says that attachment and aversion, these are obstacles of the path of spiritual life. In fact, everything that happens is Krishna's answer. This man, somewhere in America, he had a farm, and he had a horse. And one day, his horse ran away. And the neighbor said, that's not good. The man said, good or bad, let's see. 3 days later, the horse came back with a female horse, and he had two horses. And the neighbor said, that is good. But the man said, good or bad, let's see. And then the man's son was training that new horse. And during the training, he was breaking his leg. And the neighbor said, that's not good. And the man said, good or bad, let's see. And then the week after, there came a letter from the US government to be drafted, that his son had to come to be drafted to go to Vietnam to fight. So he went, but he was disapproved because of his leg. And the neighbor said, that is good. And the man said, good or bad? Let's see. There's also a story of a king in India many centuries ago, and he had a Vaishnava minister. The prime minister was a Vaishnava. And like kings sometimes do, they go out hunting. And the king was hunting, and with his bow he made a wrong movement, and he lost a piece of his finger. And then when he came back, he asked his minister, so you are Vaishnava, why is that happening to me? And the minister said, oh, that's Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy. And then the king became angry and said, Krishna's mercy, I will throw you in jail. What do you think of that? And the minister said, it's also Krishna Kripa. And they threw him in jail. And then, after that, a few months later, the king appointed another first minister, prime minister. It was an 18th. And they went again on a hunting exercise. And this time, during the hunting exercise, he and his minister were captured by dacoits. And they were worshippers of the goddess Durga. And they were offering human offers to Durga. So they prepared the king to be offered as a human offer to the goddess Durga. And they were bathing him, perfuming him, preparing for the offering. And then the head priest came and he looked at the king, he looked at his body and said, no, he's missing a finger. Shishirada Giridhari ki. So he said, he's missing a finger, he's not offerable. Throw him out. So at that time, then they took the atheistic minister and prepared him to be offered. But the king, they threw him out after being rejected as an offer for Durga. And someday or another, he found his way back to the palace. And then he remembered the words of his prime minister, Vaishnava prime minister. And he asked him to come. And he said to the minister, now I understand. But why losing this part of my finger was Krishna's mercy. But what I don't understand is, when I threw you, when I've thrown you in prison, you said also that it was Krishna Kripa, the mercy of Krishna. And then the minister answered, yes. Yes, because otherwise I would have gone with you on this hunting exercise and I would have been captured and I don't miss a finger, so they would have offered me instead. So it was Krishna's mercy. So factually, whatever happens in our lives is Krishna's mercy. If we suffer, Krishna gives us suffering to come to our senses so that we can give up this childish attachment to things in this world. Bhagavad Gita teaches we go from body to body in this life. And we create this temporary attachment which keeps us here thinking things are good or bad. Suppose I have the power to show Nanda Maharaj Prabhu a picture of his previous life. In his previous life, he's a woman and he had 9 sons. Then how would you feel about it? Would it say anything to you? Not much. Would you still feel affections for your sons in your previous life? Or your wife? No. Or your husband? No, fine. So then, why are we so attached in this life to wife and children and so on? It's all very temporary. Therefore, Krishna says we must learn to act in detachment. Detachment does not mean irresponsible. You must do your duty, Krishna says. That's something else. But under this Goloka Vrindavan, it gives this, offers this great ecstatic pleasure and experience of love. Because in Goloka Vrindavan, one day Srimad Radharani. Krishna was with Srimad Radharani in a room. And Kautila, sister-in-law, was hearing at the door. And she heard the voice of Krishna. She said, Krishna is inside. So suddenly she opens the door and she sees just Krishna jumping through the window. But Krishna has left his flute. So she takes Krishna's flute in her one hand and then Radharani at the other hand, and she goes out with Srimad Radharani and try to proclaim loudly to everyone, look, now I have the proof. Krishna was with her. Here is his flute. And Srimad Radharani started to cry, that really feeling embarrassed. And all these coward boys came around. For the big crowds. But there was an elder coward gopi, her name was Purnamasi, and she started to laugh. And Kautila said, oh, why are you laughing? This is a very serious matter. And Purnamasi said, don't you know? Last night, it has rained flutes all over Vrindavan. And she took Kautila inside and went to her room. And they found two flutes in her room. And then they went to the room of Jatila and found three flutes. Of course, Srimad Radharani felt very embarrassed. Very embarrassed. And Krishna did not like it. He had to do something about it. So one day, Krishna came home and he fainted. And Mother Yasoda became very concerned. She looked at Nanda Maharaj and said to Nanda Maharaj, do something. Get a doctor. And Nanda Maharaj said, getting a doctor, where? I'm going to get a doctor. They are not everywhere. But at that time, an Ayurvedic doctor could be recognized by his signs. He had certain things given. So then Nanda Maharaj went outside in great despair and he started to run. And suddenly he saw a doctor coming. Of course, the doctor was Krishna, had taken the form of the doctor. And when Nanda Maharaj saw him, he said, you are sent by Lord Narayan. Come to look at my son, he fainted. So the doctor went with Nanda Maharaj and went inside the house. And like what Ayurvedic doctors do, they are feeling your pulse. And they can exactly tell your situation. In 98, I was in Vrindavan with Janmashtami. And in Janmashtami we fast, and then at midnight we take a feast. I took the feast at midnight, but then afterwards, too much sweets, of course. I became very sick. And the next day, I had to go to the doctor. And I went to the Kapuras, the father of Hilada Gupta, who Ayurvedic doctor who had treated Srila Prabhupada or some in his last days. And I arrived there And he was very happy to see a Brahmacharya on his own. And he felt my pulse. And he looked at me and he started to tell me all the symptoms what I was feeling. And he told me, your age is 38. Was perfectly correct. And he described all the symptoms that I... Normally, in the West, you go to a doctor, they are asking questions, how do you feel this and that. But here, he was telling me what was wrong. And then afterwards, he gave me the cure. The cure, you fast one day, and then you take only rice, a little dal, and it will be okay. And that was the cure, and it worked. But this Ayurvedic doctor was feeling Krishna's pulse, and he was thinking. He said, he looked at Mother Yasoda and said, it's very serious. And then these Ayurvedic doctors, they are also using Jyotir astrology to calculate things. So he started to calculate and said, yes, I see only one cure for this disease. That there must be a chaste girl must go to the Yamuna with a water pot with only the name Holes in, and put the water pot in the Yamuna and then lift it up. And by the power of their justice, the older woman must remain in the pot. And Mother Yasoda said, no problem, I will do it. And the doctor said, no, it cannot be the mother. That's not possible. So they got all the gopis together and they went to the Yamuna at this pot with these holes. And one after another, they put it in the Yamuna, lifted it up, and everything came out. So that was a whole ceremony. After that, they went back to the doctor and said, I'm sorry, nobody could do it. And the doctor said, are there no chaste women in Vrindavan? He said, the situation is very serious. He started to calculate again. And then, after some time, he said, yes, I see that there may be two chaste women in Vrindavan. Their name is Kotila and Jatila. So Mother Yasoda went to Kotila and Jatila and said, and told the whole story, said, you must now save my son. And immediately, Jatila, when she heard that she was proclaimed a most chaste woman in Vrindavan, said, yes, now I'm recognized. But then they went to the Yamuna with this pot, and Jatila put it in the water, lifted it up, and all the water came out. And Kotila the same thing. And then Mother Yasoda said, I was thinking you were the most chaste woman in Vrindavan. They went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, it's a very serious situation. He started to calculate again. And then he looked at Mother Yasoda and said, this is the last chance. Is there a chaste Radhika in this village? And she said, yes. Well, get her. So she went to Srimati Radharani. But Srimati Radharani said, no, I don't want to go again to this embarrassment. It has been enough. Mother Yasoda said, it's a question of life and death. You must. So Srimati Radharani went to the Yamuna and feeling she was sure the water is going to come out. But when she put the water, the pot in the Yamuna and lifted it up, all the water remained in the pot. Then they brought it. She brought it to the doctor, and the doctor sprinkled the water on Krishna's body. And immediately Krishna opened his eyes. So these are wonderful pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. And that's under spiritual energy. Yoga Maya. But that's the place we belong in Vaikuntha Goloka Vrindavan. That's our home. And Jaina Baldev Subhava is inviting us to come back. Because how did we get his body? It started with envy of Krishna. What would it be to be Krishna? But we have all a spiritual body. That's, we have the gross body. Within the gross body, there is a subtle body. The subtle body brings us to our next destination, under the guidance of the super soul, to the next body. But within the subtle body, there is a spiritual body. The spiritual body is there, but it's covered over now by these two bodies. And we lost awareness of it. Because the spiritual body, can only be used for one thing. The spiritual body can only be used for serving Krishna and for nothing else. If you try to use the spiritual body for a selfish purpose, it's not possible. Then automatically, simple body is created, and a gross body. And we forget our real nature as a spirit soul. And then we come to this material world. This material world is also a part of the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. So that's good news, we are in the kingdom of God. But we are unfortunately in the prison section. When you go to a prison, you get new clothes with some lines on, with a number. So when we come to the material world, we get some clothes for the soul. That's a subcoat and an overcoat, some underwear, which is a subtle body, and a gross overcoat. That's what's happening when we come here. But the process to get rid of this is realizing who we are. We are the spirit soul, which has a spirit form. Instead, realizing. Instead of losing our time by trying to become something in this world, everything you think you will become you will do soon when you leave the body. Instead of trying to become something, you should realize who we are, coming from the real nature. In the purport of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, the spirit soul has its own thinking, feeling, willing. But now, in the conditioned state, this thinking, feeling, willing is taking over by the subtle body. That it's become separated. But we can bring it back to our real self, this thinking, feeling, willing, if we purify the subtle body. The subtle body has three elements. We have the mind, the thinking, feeling, willing, intelligence, sense of discrimination, what to do, what not to do. And the false ego, this idea that we are this body, and enjoy in the foreground. But that idea is fixed in the mind and the intelligence. And why is that idea there? Because the subtle body is of the consciousness in which it functions, and that consciousness comes from the soul that is contaminated. It's contaminated by this idea that I am mine. It's contaminated by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. And we can get rid of that combination, that contamination, by coming in contact with Krishna. That we become purified. When you have Krishna in your mind, Krishna, it's mentioned in the Sri Upanishad, is antiseptic and prophylactic. Antiseptic, when you have Krishna in your mind, in your intelligence, it purifies your mind and your intelligence of all these contaminations. It's antiseptic and it's prophylactic. As long as you have Krishna in your mind, no new contamination can come in. And that's so powerful. And how do we purify the body and the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence? How can we spiritualize it? We spiritualize it by contact with Krishna through different methods. And that's called devotional service, 9 methods. Shyamam Jnanam Vishnu Smaranam Arjanam Pranam Dasam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. And the three first are the most important. Hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, and remembering Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is not different from Krishna. We hear, we chant, we remember the holy name, and that's purifying our heart. If done with the proper intention, should not be done to get wealth, to get liberation. The only motivation to chant is by Krishna will be, I like to serve Krishna with love. That's all. Very simple. To love Krishna. And then it will purify the heart. And when the subtle and gross body is purified, then the subtle body does not exist anymore. You are again functioning, your thinking, feeling, willing is going directly from the spirit form. And then there is no suffering anymore. When Srila Prabhupada, during his last visit of the Bhaktivedanta Marg in September 1977, he came from Vrindavan to London. He was a little better, but then he became very sick in London. And he was holding in his bed. And when the Buddha asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, are you suffering?" Srila Prabhupada replied, "I don't feel anything." That's interesting. No feeling of suffering. Because there's no false ego. That means liberated even in this world. Therefore, these signs are offered by Bhagavad Gita. If we learn all the spiritual techniques and how to practice them, then we will come to the point of going back to the spiritual world and experience this ecstasy of love of Krishna. Thank you very much.